I would like you to open the Bible, turn to Paul's epistle to the Romans and the chapter 10 tonight for our Bible reading. I believe the Lord did a work in our hearts this morning. I know that as I prepared for the message, I was blessed as we looked at that phrase, a mixture of myrrh and aloes. The most important funeral that ever took place in the world. And that was the burial of Christ. And the Lord was here. He blessed us. He gave us liberty. I preached a lot longer than I normally do, so we'll try to keep you not so long tonight as we come to God's Word. The Lord has laid upon my heart this passage of Scripture. And we're going to read from verse 9 through to verse 17. The message that I want to preach tonight is simply entitled, The Call of the Gospel. We've had our mission at the Agave. Came to an end last Lord's Day. It was just 2 weeks. I sometimes feel that 2 weeks is too short for a mission. And we proved that because we would like to have gone on, humanly speaking, for another week. But providence was not working on our behalf, and the tent had to go on, for it was a hard intent. But the Lord is speaking nonetheless, and the mission still goes on. Every week, night by night, on the Lord's Day, the gospel is still being preached. And I trust that the Lord will continue to give us power and help and liberty in the presentation of the gospel, and that the Lord will pass by our way every Sunday night as we gather into his house, and that he will speak to you. We're thinking about the call of the gospel in the ear of the sinner. This is a mission message tonight. It's a plea to the unsaved to get right with God. And we're going to take up the reading here in Romans 10 at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ending the reading at the 17th verse. Let us pray. Lord, as we bow in thy presence, it is with full recognition, except the Lord build the house, we labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord is central in our meetings, then we gather in vain. Except much is made of Christ the Saviour, there will be nothing done in the hearts of the ungodly. Lord, we need thee now, more than ever. When we come to thy word, we believe that thou hast given a prominent place to the Scriptures, a preeminent position in every meeting. We thank thee for every part of worship. We thank thee for the opportunity to seek thee and call upon thee in prayer. We thank thee for the joy that is ours when we sing together the hymns, many of them reminding us of the Lord Jesus and his work. But Lord, we know that in every time of worship, there must be prominence given to the word, for this is thy word. As we have read these verses together, we thank thee for them. We thank thee for all in this meeting who have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus and have believed in their heart that God has raised them from the dead and they're saved. We thank thee for that word. We thank thee, Lord, we can say we're saved tonight. As we rejoice in what God has done for us, we pray for those who as yet have not taken that step of faith. We pray for those in this meeting who are still in their sin, lost, undone, hell bound. Lord, we're asking thee to give them awakening grace. We're praying for that drawing power, that there might be the Father's drawing power, that there might be the Spirit's strivings, and that Jesus himself will be seen, and in him everything to attract the soul of man unto salvation. To this end I need help. I pray for wisdom, power, words from thee. Lord, touch these lips of clay and fill me now with thy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have four texts of scripture that I want to leave with you tonight, and four points that I want to make. The first one comes in the form of the question that we have in our reading. It's here in chapter 10 and verse 14. The question is asked, how shall they hear without a preacher? And then we're going to come to the 16th chapter of John and verse 8, where Jesus Christ says concerning the Spirit of God, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then we're going to go to the last book of the Bible, to the book of the Revelation, and the chapter 11, verse 12, where we read these words. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And then our fourth text is located in the Gospel of Luke, and the chapter 16, and verse 27 and 28. Send him to my Father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The call of the gospel is the way in which God speaks to sinful man in order to awaken him to his eternal need. It is the means of reaching the heart and so draw an individual to the saving faith in Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for sin. This call of the gospel is a mercy. If you've ever heard the call of the gospel, thank God for it, for there's many in the world who have never heard this call. And should you have heard it only once, and maybe even tonight it's the only time or the first time that you've heard it, thank God for it. Some have heard it many times, but it's a mercy that God in his goodness and his mercy would ever call such sinners like you and I unto himself for salvation. This call of the gospel has often been conveyed. And I know the audience that I'm speaking to tonight, I know the people that are here, and in the setting of Northern Ireland, here's a message, here's a call that has gone out again and again. And probably for most, it's not the first time. You've heard it many, many times before. This call of the gospel is urgent. What an urgent message it is. In the light of the fact that death is real, that eternity is sure, and that life at best is very brief, how needful it is for us to press this message home by the grace and the power of God. It's an urgent message. Oh, that you would hearken to it tonight. This call of the gospel has come in many ways. Preeminently, we know that God speaks through his word, this precious book, and the proclamation of the truths of this Bible. And as we preach the gospel, the Lord is pleased to call men and to speak to men, because faith as we read tonight in verse 17, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How is faith originated in the heart of the sinner? It is through hearing the word. And as we hear the word, faith is brought about by the power of God. But God not only uses his word, sometimes he uses our circumstances. And he has spoken through illness. He has spoken through death. He has spoken through difficult circumstances that we have found ourselves in. And we hardly know where to turn. And in those moments of despondency, we have looked up to God, we have turned to his word, and God has spoken to our hearts. So the call has come in many ways, but preeminently through this ordained means, the preaching of the gospel. This call of the gospel will one day end. We quoted that hymn last Lord's Day evening. Someday you'll hear God's final call to you. And it is so. You'll hear the gospel for the last time. The call of God to your heart will come for the last time. And so you've been called many times. You've been called in many ways, in many circumstances. And still for some, you remain unready and unprepared for heaven. You have rejected up until this point every opportunity. You have spurned every call. You have ignored every gracious invitation. And tonight you're going on, careless and heedless. You turn away your neck. You shut your eyes. You close your ears. You harden your heart. And you cry out from the very depths of your soul, I will not be saved. I will not have this man to reign over me. And you shut the Lord Jesus Christ out. You tread on perilous ground and are in danger of losing your precious immortal soul forever. But my friend, still today he's calling. Still today he's inviting. Still today he's pleading with sinners to be reconciled unto himself. His hand of mercy is stretched out still. And praise God, he's willing and he's able to save you. Several voices cry to the souls of men to flee from the wrath to come. A variety of calls can be distinctly heard above the din and the clamour of the world's cry, imploring sinners to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. And I want to identify four of those calls tonight. First of all, as you look at our text in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, there is this call from without. How shall they hear without a preacher? It's the call of the preacher. It's the call of the godly minister. It's the call of the missionary. The call of the Sabbath school teacher. It's the call of that mother, that father in the home redeemed by grace. It is the call of a Christian friend. It's the call of God's word itself. And we call it the external call of the gospel. It's a call that comes from without. It's the very call that you're hearing tonight in this meeting just now. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that this gospel must be preached. This is the way in which sinners are to hear the message of God. It's God's ordained means of reaching the lost. And so this word, this gospel must be preached. Somebody must tell sinners the message. Men must be raised up and sent forth to bear this message. Sinners are perishing all around. They're lost in their sin. They're going down to a Christless eternity. How shall they hear without a preacher? And so God calls and he commissions men to go forth into the harvest fields and to preach the word. The preacher has a solemn task. It is to take God's book in his hand and to preach the gospel, convey the message of God. We must warn. We must be faithful. We must invite sinners to Christ. We must plead with them earnestly, plead with them tenderly. We must beseech them
in Christ's stead to be reconciled unto God. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Paul instructing the young minister Timothy, he told him, "Preach the word." And he was to be instant in season and out of season, no matter what the season was like, whether it was bright or whether it was dark, whether things were going well or not. He was to keep up this business of preaching the word. And this is our duty, you see. We are servants of the Most High God. We are ambassadors of the King representing Him. We're signposts pointing the way to Calvary. We have often told our people that that's just what we are. All I am is a signpost. When you're driving around the countryside and you're looking for a sign, talking about one of these physical signs that you see out there on the road, where to go? Well, you know, if you follow that sign, it's going to take you to Ballymoney. That is, if Ballymoney's on the sign. Or Coleraine. Or Ballymena. All a preacher is a signpost to the cross. To cry like John the Baptist did in his time, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." That's our duty. That's our responsibility. To look to Christ. To tell men to look to Christ and to point the way. Servants of Christ. This external call, this call from without, is wonderfully illustrated in a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ related in the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. And Jesus talked about a certain man that made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent a servant out at supper time, and he went with this message, "Come, for all things are now ready." Oh, you know the passage, don't you? How they all began to make excuses why they shouldn't come to the feast that was provided. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, "I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I pray they have me excused." Nobody buys ground without seeing it. Well, some foolish people do and have done. We've learned about those who have bought pieces of ground. They've never seen it. Or they may have heard a description or read a description or seen it on the internet. They bought it and they were miserably disappointed because it wasn't all that they thought it was going to be. Here's a man, he bought ground. And he hadn't seen it, and he was going to see it, and that was his excuse why he shouldn't come. And then there's another man, and he said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused." These are very lame excuses, aren't they? 5 yoke of oxen might correspond to some kind of tractor today, I'm sure. No farmer would buy a tractor without proving that tractor. Knowing what the tractor is able to do, he has seen it demonstrated, he knows about it, he's read up on it. But here's a man, and he hadn't proved that which he had bought. What a foolish thing. And he makes it an excuse why he shouldn't come to the feast. And I know that you will agree with me that the third excuse is even worse. Because another said, "I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." We call that kind of a man a henpecked man. And I'm sure there's nobody in this meeting fits that description tonight, so I can speak freely about it. "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So the servant came, we are told, by the Saviour. He showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, he said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." This is the servant of Christ that the Lord Jesus is identifying here. And he's going out with a message, the message of the gospel. There's a great feast that has been provided. The great feast that is found in the person of Christ and what he's accomplished. You can come and feed on the Saviour and have everlasting life. And he goes out and, oh, there's people who make excuses why they shouldn't come, both to the house of God and to the Lord Jesus, which is more important. And so the servant goes out again, bidden by his Saviour, bidden by the Lord. And he goes out there into the streets, the lanes of the city. And he brings in what he can. And still there's room. Thank God, still there's room. And he's commanded to go out again and compel them to come in that the house may be filled. That's what we are. Going out to compel sinners to come in. To come into God's house, but to come into Christ that they might be saved. The Lord Jesus in his day, he stood and he called sinners to himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or in the words that we've just read, come, for all things are now ready. The work is done. It's a finished work. Come. I see Paul standing in Mars Hill. He's talking to the superstitious people. People who didn't know who the true God of Israel was. They were idolaters. They had erected all these altars, all these idols for worship. And there was one idol, you remember, it was to the unknown God, the God that they didn't know. And Paul stands on Mars Hill and he preaches to the people of Athens. And he reveals to them who God is. The God that created the heavens and the earth. The God that made them. And in whom we live and we move and we have our being. We can't even take a step unless God gives us the power to do that. And he reveals who God is to them. And then as he comes to the end of that message, he calls that people with the gospel call to repentance. And he reminds them of a judgment day. And he says, God now hath commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead, speaking about Christ. The day of judgment, in the light of the judgment day, he says, God commands you to repent. That's the call of the gospel. And tonight, my friends, my soul is burdened. Burdened for you who are not saved. We pray as a congregation to this end that you might come to know the Lord. We work to this end. We preach to this end. I have a responsibility that's laid upon my shoulders. The same responsibility that Paul felt in his time. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I do not want the skirts of my garments stained with your blood on the great judgment day. And that's why every Lord's Day, by God's help and grace, we preach the gospel to you. We don't mince our words. We tell you it straight. There's no other way, and there's no other way that I know. And that's why we have our missions. That's why we went to the Agave, and for 2 weeks, night by night, we presented the gospel to all who came. And that's why we go out in the doors on a Tuesday night to tell people who won't come either to church or to missions that Jesus Christ has died upon the cross to save them, and unless they repent, they'll perish. And that's why when we have the opportunity to go into people's homes and they're not saved, we try to present the gospel to them. Or when we go into hospital and they're sick and maybe near the end of life's journey and time is short for them and they're not saved, we implore them to seek the Lord and call upon his great name. We're burdened, you see. When we give this call, the call from without, the external call of the gospel. But if you turn to my second text tonight, there is a call from within. We did a study recently in the Holy Spirit, and this is where the study began, the ministry of the Spirit in the life of the unconverted. John's Gospel, chapter 16, in verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Whose is this voice? It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The one who convicts. The one who convinces. There's an inward call to the mind, to the heart, to the conscience. That voice that grips your inner man and reveals your need. The Holy Ghost has a ministry in the hearts of sinners. He speaks. He strives. He awakens. He calls. And blessed is the man that feels this inner work of the Spirit of God. And my friend, if you're concerned about your soul, thank God for it tonight. If you've attended the mission recently and you've been troubled in your heart, thank God for it. Because not only have you been hearing the external call, the call from without and the preaching of the word from the lips of the preacher, but something's been happening in your heart that's troubled you so. It's the work of the Blessed Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that when he was gone, the Comforter would come. And when he has come, he will reprove the world. And that would be his first priority, to reprove the world. The word reprove means to convince. And he was going to convince the world of these three things especially, of sin. You can never be saved until you're convinced about your sin. That all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and all your sins are condemning you in the sight of God. And no matter how good and how upright you may feel yourself to be, in the sight of a holy God, you're a sinner. And until you're convinced by the Spirit of God about your sinnership, you can never, never be saved. And this is the work of the Spirit. This is the work of God, to bring you to see yourself as you are before God, a sinner condemned in his sight. And then he would reprove the world, or convince the world, not only about their sin, but about righteousness. That they have no righteousness of their own, and they needed the righteousness of another. Even that righteousness that was procured by Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. That perfect, spotless robe of righteousness that can cover the sinner and make him clean in the sight of God. That's the work of the Spirit. I'm a sinner, but there's a righteousness that can cover my sin and make me acceptable with the holy God. It's the righteousness of Christ. And then he would also convince the world of judgment. And it's not so much the judgment to come, and I believe it's there, and there is a judgment to come. There is a day when men will stand before God and they will give an account. A day when they will be judged according to the deeds done in the body and sentenced accordingly. But the judgment that I believe that Jesus is speaking about, that the Holy Spirit would convince the world concerning, is the judgment that took place at the cross. When God judged his son, accounting him as a sinner, so that we might have this righteousness that we've been talking about tonight. This is the work of the Holy Ghost, to bring you to see your sin, to bring you to see your need of righteousness, to bring you to see that it's all possible through the judgment that was meted out against God's Son at the cross of Calvary. And so the call would not only be external by the preacher's voice, it would be internal as the Spirit of God worked. And I believe that that is observed on the day of Pentecost, because Acts chapter 2 tells us concerning the preaching of Peter and how Peter preached the gospel to the people that had gathered. And verse 37 informs us, now when they heard this, what Peter had to say, the preaching of Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter was giving the external call of the gospel. They were hearing the call from without through the preacher's voice. But as they heard this, something was happening within. The Bible says they were pricked in their heart. God was at work. They're feeling now the inward impressions of the Spirit of God. And they were so concerned that publicly they cried out, what shall we do? Well, that God would bring us at those kind of meetings where sinners are so troubled by the Spirit, they begin to cry out, what shall we do? Until they find peace through the blood of the cross. I believe it's also seen in what happened in Felix's life. Felix had one of the greatest preachers stand before him, the Apostle Paul. And Paul reasoned with him, and the subject was very similar, of righteousness, of sin, righteousness, and this time judgment to come. And the Bible tells us that when Felix heard that word about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and he answered, go thy way for this time, when I've got a convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul preaches, that's the call from without. But here's a man who's brought to tremble. That wasn't Paul's work, that was the Spirit's work. And Felix was shaken by the power of God. God called you in your conscience by his Spirit. Do you hear that voice? Do you? Do you sense that impulse? Do you feel the strivings of God? Because God warns, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You will not always hear his voice. You will not always sense his presence. You will not always feel the way that you do when God speaks. How often has he striven? He strove with some of you when you were but an infant sitting on your mother's knee, because there in your home you heard the gospel. And even as an infant child, the truth of the gospel was beginning to dawn upon your soul. He strove with you as a child in the Sabbath school and children's meetings, as you sat beneath the faithful instruction of God's word, and through the teacher or the leader there, God was speaking by his Spirit. He strove with you as a young person attending the Bible class or maybe the youth fellowship, and you know what you needed to do, but you didn't do it, you didn't come. And he's still striving with you. This very night he's still speaking. There's a call from within. But turn to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 12. Here is a call from above. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Thank God there's a voice from heaven. These words are like a loving invitation to the unconverted. We know that God delights to save men. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that the angels of God are ready to bear the glad tidings to heaven when a soul repents and is saved. We know that there's joy in the very presence of those angels when even one sinner repents and gets right with God. And I think I can hear a call from above bidding you to come up hither. Come up hither. The Father calls. What would the Father say to you? He would say, I have planned redemption. I have given my Son to the cruel cross. I have given him to die, to bleed and to suffer on behalf of sinners. There's provision for the sinner through my Son. Come up hither. The Son would call. And what would the blessed Savior say? My friend, he would say to you, I've been to the cross. I have finished the work that my Father gave me to do. I have shed my blood. I have opened a way into heaven. Come up hither. Still today he's calling. Still today he's saying, come unto me. Remember how he pleaded with the Laodiceans. We looked at that last Lord's Day, didn't we? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And still he's pleading and knocking and waiting. Come up hither, the Lord Jesus would say. The departed saints would call, if you could but hear them tonight. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the glory of seeing him whom our soul loveth. Oh, the splendor and the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory being here in heaven. Come up hither. A godly mother, a redeemed father would call. My son, my daughter, give your heart to Christ. Turn from your sin and meet me here at the right hand of God. Come up hither. Oh, the little infant child would call. That child that was snatched away. Oh, but a babe. And that child would say, I may have died young, but I am with Jesus. I am where I want to be. It's lovely here. Come up hither. Your departed loved ones would urge you to flee from hell. They would tell you about the wonder of heaven. They would point you the way of the cross. Come up hither. A call from without. A call from within. A call from above. There's one final call. It's Luke chapter 16 as a call from beneath. Luke chapter 16. And we're thinking here of verses 27 and 28. The rich man is lost. After death, he's in this awful place called hell. He's tormented. There's a great gulf between him and Abraham and Lazarus and the redeemed of God. And he says in verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is send Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I hear a cry from a lost eternity. What a cry this is. And I'm going to lift, as it were, the very lid of hell. And we're going to look in and we're going to hear this cry. How can I do that? By the description that is given to me in God's word. For what Jesus tells us is absolutely true. And the picture that he's painting before our eyes in Luke chapter 16, my friend, is absolutely true. Our Savior gives an account of a poor lost sinner in the midst of the fiery inferno of the damned, suffering pain and untold misery. And as we watch him, we see him languishing in the flame. We observe him crying. The reason of his wails, of course, for many. We know that he's crying because he's in agony. He says, I'm tormented in this flame. We know he's crying because he knows there's another place. He sees it across the great gulf that was fixed. He's crying because he desires mercy. Doesn't he cry for mercy? Have mercy on me, but mercy is gone. He's crying because he's longing for water, just the one drop of water to cool his tongue. He's crying because of the memory of the good times that he had upon the earth, because Abraham says to him, son, remember thy lifetime. Good things that he received when he was back on the earth, and they flood to his mind. But note, there's another reason why he's crying. He's thinking about his family back on the earth. He had five brothers who were not saved, five brothers who were not ready, five brothers who were coming to the same place of condemnation as he, and he's thinking about them. He did nothing to help them in life spiritually. Maybe even through the wealth that he had, he did everything to take them down the road that was leading them to a lost eternity. But certainly nothing to help them. And now, he couldn't bear to think that they were going to come to the same place that he was in. And he wanted this miracle to occur. Lazarus the beggar, who was known to all in that vicinity, who used to lie at his gates full of sores. Lord, if Lazarus could only be raised from the dead and sent back to the earth, if he could only be resurrected and my brothers see him, they're going to believe. I don't want my brothers to come to this dreadful place. I don't want them to end up where I am. And so there's this call from beneath, my friend, if we could only hear it. Some people say, if my loved ones die and they go to hell, I want to be where they are. My friend, I want to tell you, you'll never meet your loved ones there. There's no reunions in hell. But your loved ones, if they have gone to that place, that's not how they're thinking. Don't let my family come here. Don't let my brothers, my sisters, any member of my family come here. If they could speak, this is what they would say. We have the evidence of God's word for it. And so we have these calls. The call from without, the preacher's voice. The call from within, the voice of the Spirit. The call from above, that voice from on high, from heaven itself. The call from beneath, even there, in the darkness of the damned, there's a call comes. Don't come to this place. Flee from it. Get right with God. And I say to you in this meeting, don't refuse God's call. This call of the gospel, it's a mercy. It's a mercy that you're here, sitting in this church building tonight. God has brought you here, and God has been speaking to you. But he'll not always speak. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to get right with him. Will you not heed the call? Will you not come to Christ? Trust in his finished work at the cross? Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, our hearts are heavy tonight as we think of the dear unsaved ones in this meeting. It took a rich man to go to hell to understand what it was like, so that he would feel the way that he did about his family. I don't want them to come here. Lord, we haven't been to hell, but we've read much about it in thy word. It's a place that we certainly don't want to go to. And we can, with our feeble imagination, try to understand something of this place. As we read the descriptions given in thy word, and we see how awful it is for a soul to die unprepared and unready. well, then certainly we must say, I don't want my family to go there. I pray tonight that every Christian will be burdened in this meeting. Help us to redouble our efforts in getting our loved ones to the Saviour. And Lord, as the unconverted have come in and they've heard thy word tonight and the gospel call has gone out, the preacher has spoken, the Holy Spirit has been working within. Oh, if we could just peer into the eternal, we would hear from heaven and from hell a call to get right with God. May it be so in this meeting. We pray that Jesus will tenderly woo sinners to the cross, that the Spirit of God will do his work that we've been speaking about, and that souls will be saved, not for our asking, but for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 220